time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And we are glad to be with you on Trackside tonight. Remind you, the phone numbers once again, 239-0033, 800-927-0033. Star 1150 on your AT&T wireless cell phone, and that's a free call. We've got several things on our agenda tonight. Certainly, one of them is the Scott Thompson, the third annual Scott Thompson Memorial at Volusia Speedway Park. And let's just get into that, guys. I mean, certainly it was billed many places as the best, biggest dirt late model race of the season. Well, my memory is correct. 61 cars there for time trials Saturday night. Amazing, just amazing number of race cars. A huge number of fans in the stands. I got there essentially just before 7:30, and we parked out next to the road. Really. Kind of, it was great to see. It was really great to see that you had the cars, the fans, you know, everything was kind of working together. And of course, then we had the problem with the racetrack. And I'll talk about that. But one of the things I noticed, I read the Karnak board today, and even though there were people who had much to say about the length of the show and how long it was and how late it was, amazingly enough, it was done with a certain degree of, respectability. And even I think the thing that caught me the most was, while in fact there were some people complaining about getting out of there at, 3 o'clock in the morning, most everybody said, the good news was it was great racing. And so there seems to be a certain amount of tolerance for what took place there. And the fact that the racing was good, I don't believe it made up for the length of the time completely, but it certainly was people got what they expected in terms of the competition.
They did. And, excuse me, anybody that's been to Volusia Speedway Park on a regular basis knows this is very uncharacteristic. I've said it before. 100 race cars in 5 divisions on a regular Saturday night, we're out of there at 11 o'clock.
Right.
11 inches of rain. I will defend this racetrack tonight. 11 inches of rain in 5 days. Okay? Track crews got on the track early in the afternoon. I got out there at 1 o'clock. It was looking beautiful. I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be a great track tonight. They actually have a roller packer that actually pulsates. What do they call that?
It's a vibrating roller.
Yeah, it's a vibratory roller. They rented this thing. So, their commitment's there. So they're using the vibratory roller and going around the track. Then the water truck comes out. And I talked to Jimmy Flores today, one of the track crew. He said, look, Charlie might have put a little too much on it, but it, whatever. Then the rain came at about 4 o'clock. So right then, they're behind the eight ball. So they're going to work on the racetrack. Got it all packed. Everybody's gone through tech inspection. It is, it's after 7 o'clock. We want to get them on the racetrack to go ahead and start hot laps. Sent a handful of late models out onto the racetrack, and you knew immediately that this wasn't going to work. Cars were slipping down to the bottom. Cars unable to get any traction at all. Officials made the call, get them off, let's repack. We packed again, got them back on, all was good. But you lost 2 hours. And when you lose 2 hours in this kind of program with this many cars, you're not going to make it up. We can make up 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Billy proved that 2 weeks ago. We can do that. But you're not going to make up 2 hours. And it just continued to compound throughout the night. And I think the track held up relatively well despite the negatives. You're right, Randy. A lot of people talking about the fact that, you know, it's still good racing, a well-run program. Nonetheless, the track was less than perfect, but you know, these drivers, unfortunately, this year have come to get used to that, and they're able to negotiate the surface that's prepared for them on a Saturday night.
Well, you know, the thing that I noticed, you know, I guess it's easy. It's certainly easy for me and others to sit here on a, you know, on a Monday after you had a couple of days to think about it. You're not in the heat of the battle having to make a call. But one of the things that I thought about as I was sitting there, you know, watching the activities and trying to, just hoping for everybody that they could get the track to come back to them sooner than it did, was, you know, maybe instead of just taking three cars out of each heat race, maybe have, you know, and I realize everybody took time, but maybe fill in the field with a few more cars out of the heat races to get to the point of trying to get the program started a little bit earlier. I know it was tough because, you know, there's a couple things against you. You had the two different divisions, you know, the late model division, the national late model division, combined with the local, you know, Volusia Speedway Park late models, and that's a blend. And then, you know, so you've got these two series you've got to satisfy. And certainly the drama and the history behind this event, the Scott Thompson Memorial, you know, it necessitated that it be a full-fledged, full program. There's no question about it, and it's completely understandable, and I understand it. I think the part, my heart is different maybe than a lot of folks. I left at 11 o'clock. I had a little boy, and I got to go home. But there were so many positives. There were so many good things going on that night. There were so many race cars and so many fans, and just and an amazing, and a wonderful event that instead of, you know, waning, is actually seems to be getting momentum behind it.
Sure.
And all these different track owners and promoters from different places, there was just so much good energy there that, golly, you wanted this thing to come off without a hitch.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
Was, mine was more about rooting than it was being critical.
Sure. Billy, what kind of adjustments would you have made? Certainly the critics are out in full force today. You can hear them everywhere and read their things. But, you know, everybody is a promoter on Monday morning, and that's what gets me. And I'll tell you another thing. Some of the people that are on these message boards saying the things that they're saying without complimenting didn't pay to get in that racetrack.
They're hearing it from other people.
They didn't pay to get in that racetrack. No.
They were there.
Yeah.
They were there,
members of the so-called media that didn't pay to get in and enjoyed the entire night in the tower in the air conditioning.
What about the paying people? Well, sit back because this is going to take a couple minutes.
Bring it on.
You know, first things first, everybody's human. We all make mistakes. So, I mean, it happened the way it went down. There's really nothing you could change. I took the schedule and we changed a little bit, but you know, the two laps of qualifying, let's talk about this. People said, well, I'd have cut it to one lap. Here's the deal. If the racetrack was a little bit wet, it's going to be wet for all 61 of them. So here's the deal. We give them two laps. That way, out of two laps, we didn't have to hear them say, well, you only gave me one lap, and I hit a bad lap or hit a slick spot. This ain't asphalt. This is dirt, and the racetrack was still wet. We gave them two rounds of practice to get the racetrack worked in. That's what we did. That's why we stuck with the two laps of qualifying. I alternate the schedule because the first program out was supposed to be the mini stock heat race. I went in and put the late model heats back to back. That way, group one that's qualifying, they can come right back after group six, and now you see heat races. You know, we don't have a reputation of getting done at 1-2 o'clock in the morning.
Ever.
We don't have a reputation of when we have big shows, we run 12-13 nights in a row. Here in Dirt Car Nationals.
300 cars a night.
Thank you, and we're done around 11:30. The thing is, you get certain people that'll show up, and yeah, don't get me wrong, we invite everybody there, but we're only human. You're going to have mistakes. It did rain on us. We had water to track before that. I'm sorry, there's nothing we could do. We could have put the Packers on it. Yeah, that was a mistake we made, but with 61 late models, if we get all 61 on, they could be done way faster than the Packers. When you start behind the eight ball, no matter what you think, unless you have a trick up your sleeve, you're not going to make the next ball. And that's what we try to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, we got done late. Most people were there to see the 50-lapper. I wanted to get the 50-lapper in and let everybody go that wanted to leave, and then the two local support classes could have done what they done. But when you get going, like I said, once you have a schedule, you try to stick with the schedule. Everybody, every driver in the pit area has this schedule, and they know what's coming.
And they adjust their program for that.
Well, it's important. That part's important. I know as a driver at different times, we've been to different racetracks, and certain things happen, you know, all kinds of things. That's not necessarily weather, right, but it's a number of things right. can take place. And when you alter the schedule, when the track officials or someone making the decision alters the schedule, it creates a mess. Right. I mean, it creates a real problem for the competitors, you know, setting your car up. You've got to schedule the way you're going to do things, and then it changes, and it's a mess.
We pretty much made the announcement in the pit area that we had changed the schedule, and I called all the local divisions to look at the schedule. But what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, we had qualified 61 cars, took about an hour. Then we went right into late model heat racing. Then we went right into late model consi racing. You know, I ran two hobby stock heats there, or street stock heats, to let the guys from the try to get their cars ready for the consi, to try to take the pressure off of them. Then we went right into late model consi racing. Because people, don't get me wrong, people want to see the support classes, but everybody was there to see that Scott Thompson
That's
race.
Right.
And then I fell behind. We fell behind with the last chance race, and then going right from the last chance race to the Scott Thompson race. A lot of people said, well, I don't know if we'd have done, you should have done driver introductions. Here's the deal. I needed to give them other guys, which I told them on the receiver, they have about 10 minutes at the most to get their cars ready, which is the winner of the last chance race, and there was four drivers in that race that were provisionals.
Provisionals, that's right.
And those guys needed to get their cars ready for the show. Now, I could have told them to bring them straight to stage.
Because they just found out they're in the show.
Yeah, thank you. So we took that extra few minutes, and I mean, you know, you can sit here and apologize and say things, but everybody's human. I mean, I've been to racetracks, and we've left at 11:30, and they're intermission.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. Saturday night, we didn't even stop. Once we got going, I knew we was behind. But, you know, now you got to get it done. You got to get it in. You got to go. And it's not, you can't jeopardize, what I'm saying is you can't tell the drivers, okay, we're cutting your qualifying laps to one because we made a mistake. We can't do it. We can't penalize them for something that's our mistake. And it was our mistake.
And a short track being a dirt track, trying to give them one lap of qualifying, you might as well not qualify.
Right.
Come up with a different plan.
Right.
National Late Model Series does one lap. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series doesn't time trial.
Right.
Okay? So in an effort to appease both, this is how we do it at Volusia.
Right. The thing is it was, I mean, it's our show. It was the Scott Thompson Memorial. We invited Ken Kinney's group, and we invited Ray Miller's group to come join it with us, and it turned out to be like an all-star deal. It was a huge thing. You had 61 cars sign in. You had 64 cars in the pits. You had three guys that didn't even sign in. So, I mean, you're still talking about. And then we named guys on the way here that wasn't even there that you could have had over 70 cars. But, you know, the thing about it is you can't go back and change it now. It's over. The Saturday night is done. It's now Monday night. And people are going to talk about it. And they could talk about it all they want, but remember one thing. We did the best we could. We got the show in, and there'll be another chance, you know?
That's right.
Well, I think, you know, at the outset, when Joe invited me into the announcer's booth. There
hey, that was cool, by the way.
Early. Well, I appreciate the invitation. The one of the things that I said that was going to happen that night was it was the winner was going to be the Thompson family and the memory of Scott Thompson. And ultimately, that is, in fact, what took place. And I know the passion, Billy, that you have for that, Joe, that you have for that, and many of the people that work there have for that fact. And, you know, I think the simple fact is anybody that's ever been to a dirt track more than once, maybe more than twice, understands that what happened to you Saturday night has the potential to happen any and every Saturday night.
That's right.
You know, my first concern early in the day was, man, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Because, you know, the way the rain was going. And, you know, so I was, to a certain extent, I was surprised that you were still going.
Right.
And,
the whole thing is just like you, we're all the same. You go to a racetrack and you want to see, you want to see the main event. You want to see. That's what
right.
you go for. You go for. That's what you pay your money for. I mean, don't get wrong. It's easy. But I stand up there and work like I'm a spectator, too. What's best? You understand. We have to please the crowd. We have to please the racer. And you have to please everybody that's not there. You know what I mean? But the situation falls back to this. I'm not happy I'm not happy if I don't get to see the big show when I go someplace.
Right.
You know, but I know things can happen, and you know, that's the worst part. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, like Randy, I got a little boy. You know, Randy's got his little boy. What about the kids that didn't get to see the big race?
Right.
That's why I went straight from qualifying straight to late model hot heat races. That way they could see what was going on. They could see they came to see the late models. Let them see. I had one guy call me today and goes, Billy, I left at 11:30, but I want you to know I'm not upset. I got my $15 worth just in those six heat races. You know, but not everybody's going to feel that way. You know,
well,
and I don't want them to feel that way.
So
I
you
know
charge,
they went there to see it
you,
was $15.
You just charged them $15 for that big race.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah, there's another point. Pretty darn cheap.
Yeah,
yeah, the other side of that is, you know, I know I saw some stuff about why you shouldn't have the local support classes. Well, the fact is the local support classes actually give the fans something to do to watch while you're having to get these other guys give them the time they need to get ready.
Right.
I mean, it really wouldn't have cost you any more time. The thing that cost you all the time was the track,
right.
That's
what
not
happened.
The program.
I had one guy tell me today he had to run the last chance race, and he said when they came over to get him, he had all the A-frames off his car. He said, I didn't know I had to run the last chance race to be in the A-main, but that's the way the provisionals work. He said, man, I just throwed a couple bolts in and I hope they'd make it through there. You know what I mean? Because they didn't know. And that's the whole thing. You got to give them time. You know, with the support classes that we had, we could have very well went features only. But
yeah,
I had a four-cylinder class. Now, with the track being wet like it was, I wouldn't let them on the track to practice. These guys have been there all afternoon. They haven't practiced yet. It's now 11 o'clock. They haven't even been on the racing surface yet. They paid the same amount of money the late model guys paid to get in the gate. They wanted to run their... I'll move their heat races way back. I wanted to get all the late model stuff done and then run their heat races and then get ready for the last chance race. You see what I'm saying? But they were upset. They were down there yelling, we've been here since 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it's now 11. We ain't even been on the track yet. So I went ahead and ran their heat races, which was, you know, wasn't really a mistake, but I was trying to keep them happy too, because this week when we have our 20 late models that we have, or 24 a week, we're still going to have them local guys that support us every week there. So you got to keep everybody happy. You know, that's what I say. People's got to understand you got to make everybody happy in this game. And if you left unhappy, I apologize. We apologize. I mean, it's just that it doesn't happen every week.
The greatest variable about Volusia Speedway Park ever is no different than any place else. And that's what the weather does to the racetrack. And that's not something you can control. You know, the program, I have commented time after time after time on this particular show, our show, how efficient you are about getting the program rolling and keeping it rolling. And that's a fact. And the issue is not how long the program took. The issue is the fact that it just had to start so late because of the condition of the racetrack, which was beyond anybody's control.
Right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back here in just a couple minutes. Be glad to take your phone calls on that issue. We've got some stuff to talk about with NASCAR Nationwide Series, Truck Series, the cat fight that took place.
Yeah, Pedano and the Indy cars and of course, NHRA action last night.
That's right. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hurricane season is predicted to be active. Weather alert radios are recommended to be better prepared for severe weather. WNDB and John Hall Automotive Group are offering a chance to register to win a free American Red Cross NOAA Weather Alert Radio. Pick up your registration form at John Hall Chevrolet, Jeep Hyundai, John Hall Pontiac GMC, Saturn of Daytona, or Lloyd Buick Cadillac dealer. Don't delay, do it now. WNDB is always there, a reliable source when weather threatens. Pick up your hurricane tracking app at John Hall Automotive Group dealerships. Be prepared this season. Register for a free American Red Cross NOAA Weather Alert Radio. Listen to WNDB 1150 for details or pick up a registration form at the following sponsored locations. 747 Office Suites, R&R Industries, Healthy Weight, Natural Gallery Granite Direct, River Grill, Z-Graph, Allstate Brad Cole, The Sound Prescription, Georgetown Lake Condominium, Action Performance, A Touch of Spice.
Doctor is in each Thursday morning at 9. Join Dave Lang along with the Volusia County Medical Society for the Ask the Doctor program. We'll take your phone call and let you talk with a different doctor with a different specialty each week. What's new in medicine? Do you need surgery? And what about a second opinion? Tune in for the Ask the Doctor program Thursday morning at 9 on News Talk 1150 WNDB.
Doug time of year again, come celebrate the sizzling summer with a barbecue feast in downtown Daytona Beach. The 4th annual Beach Street Barbecue starts at 6 p.m. and lasts until midnight, Saturday, July 26th. Bring your family and friends, enjoy mouth-watering barbecue, ice-cold drink specials, and all of your favorite Beach Street restaurants. Bring your kids. There will be a free expanded kid zone with inflatable bounce houses, jousting, and obstacle course. And Beach Street will be closed to traffic, so expect to enjoy the live music, plenty of crafts and food vendors, and a Jeep cruise-in. Parking is plentiful at this free festival, behind the stores, or at City Island all night. The 4th Annual Beach Street Barbecue, Saturday, July 26th. Sponsored by Brown & Brown Insurance, Cobb & Cole, Jack White Land Company, Last Year Transportation Group, Halifax Health, and this radio station. For event information, call 386-255-9300 or WNDV.am.
When you need embroidery done or screen printing done for your company or sports team or group or organization, there's only one place to call, Mid-Florida Sportswear. They've been doing business in our community for over 30 years. As far as reputation goes, they're the official screen printer of Black Crow Media and this radio station, and they do work for Outback Steakhouse, Brown & Brown, Larry's Giant Subs, Long Doggers, the list goes on and on. They do fantastic work. They give great prices. Fast turnaround. Call Mid-Florida Sportswear now at 258-5632 or visit them online at mfswear.com.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid.
And we're going to have a caller that was waiting through the commercials there. Charlie McNichol, hello there.
Hello, Randy. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not bad.
What's up, Big Mac?
What are you doing, man?
I'm calling to plug my being there next weekend to sign autographs.
Shameless.
Charlie, hey, might as well get right to the point, right? I'm not going to beat around the bush.
Charlie, you've been listening to the program tonight?
I have indeed, Jeff.
You stuck it out with us. I mean, take us through your opinion of Saturday night's program and just the way it operated in that racetrack.
Well, I certainly think that there wasn't anything wrong with the program per se. The weather's always something that's unpredictable. You know, I didn't see water trucks on the track by the time I had got there. They were already packing it in and it was already muddy. But it's one of those things you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. If that it doesn't rain and they didn't water the racetrack, then you have a dust bowl and everybody complains that it's one groove or it's rough or there's everything else that's wrong with it. And then you can take the other gamble and put water on the racetrack, and then it rains, and then you have a mud hole that you need to run in for a few hours. So it's something that, you know, that's living in Florida. It's going to be a crapshoot when it comes to the weather, and I think the racetrack and Billy did a great job trying to get the program in as fast as they could, having as many cars as they did. And but I think that's just, you know, the way the weather works in Florida. I don't think there's anybody that can really be held to blame for that.
Charlie, you know, you're having some difficulties with the modified. You guys, Kevin Mobley and the gang, have looked at that engine after you lost oil pressure. And it looks like you're going to be down for a little while, and that's certainly understandable. And my only concern is, after having you up in the tower with me Saturday night, you could very well be in line for a color commentary.
Very well get your job.
Yes, indeed. I'm job scared, Big Mac.
Well, it was fun playing Kyle Petty for an evening.
You know? You said it, not me, man. I wouldn't have said Kyle Petty, but go ahead.
Well,
hold on. Give yourself some credit, dude.
This week I need to do my job cover for me.
Oh.
After, you know, I'm always known with a great
jacket.
Job Billy's
Nobody
done.
Nobody wants to do that.
I've always known what a great job Billy's done, but after standing in that tower and watching him, I do not envy you at all. I can't believe you haven't had a heart attack yet. It's just, I mean, as a driver, you don't realize what goes in to making a production up in the tower like that. You know, all I see is the, you know, the driver's meeting and the, you know, you miss a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, but it's certainly a daunting task, to say the least.
And he's running that receiver. I mean, he's the voice in the ear. I mean, you got to hear him last weekend, I believe.
Yeah, it was funny watching him up there with his, he's got a radio in every hand and a radio behind him, and I mean, he's, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't know what button to push. He's got so many radios on.
I was busy Saturday, man.
No doubt. You certainly
Hey, man, I was glad you was up there with us, man.
Hey, I had a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
So, Charlie, like I said, you guys are kind of down for a little while in the modified, and obviously you continue to try to promote yourself and your program and what you can bring to a sponsor that could perhaps maybe help you kind of advance in your short track career. I'd love to see you in a late model or even back in the modified, but any kind of prospects at all? I mean, talk about what you guys are seeing in the future here, the near future.
Well, it's not looking too great right now. We have a great sponsor in Holly Bluff Marina, Houseboat Vacations in DeLand, Florida. Speaking of which, while I'm mentioning them, if you're interested in having some fun on the river and a houseboat is hot outside, go take one down to the springs anywhere on the St. Johns River and have some fun there in DeLand, Florida, Holly Bluff Marina. They have houseboats all the way from 4 sleepers up to 10 sleepers and can accommodate anybody's needs. But other, you know, they're doing the best they can. Times are tough for everybody, particularly Holly Bluff's industry, the leisure travel. You know, people are taking less vacations and things like that. And Rick Armstrong and Judy Armstrong are helping us the best they can. And but unfortunately, this is a very expensive sport, and it takes a lot of resources to achieve. And we're lacking in that department, and it's not looking great for prospects at the moment. We certainly welcome anybody that would like to come on board or talk to us about it. But unfortunately, it does look like with the motor situation that we have right now, we're going to be done until a sponsor can come along and maybe chip in a little bit of money to rebuild that engine. We're in a pretty dire strait, but I'll be up there at the racetrack this coming weekend with some Holly Bluff Marina promotional items and signing some autographs and be willing to talk to people. And if anybody's interested, I'll be there. And don't hesitate to come talk to me.
Charlie, give me one of the nice T-shirts, man.
With I will. I'll make sure you get one.
Those are cool, buddy. Hey, I rented one of those. I deserve one.
It
cost me like $1,000 bucks. It's well worth it. A 3-day houseboat vacation. And it was myself and Lisa and another couple. It was awesome, man.
I don't think you need to be worried about a T-shirt as much as you need to be worried about this guy taking you a J-O-B.
I know, man. I know.
It was good. This guy grabbed a mic just to talk.
I know. You didn't see me turn over to my mixer and turn him way down.
Yeah, I saw that one time he was talking, nobody could hear.
I took care of my side. Don't worry, Chuck. No, it was cool having you up there, man. The whole bringing a whole other kind of perspective of what perhaps the drivers are going through out there. It was really neat, Charlie. I enjoyed it.
I did, too. It was certainly a lot of fun to be able to see some other aspects of racing. You know, I've been driving one thing or another, whether it be a go-kart or a race car, for about 13 years, and I've never seen any of the, you know, it's been a long time since I've been able to step back and look at racing from a more objective perspective, I suppose.
That's a whole different
and,
view, ain't it?
Being able to see you know, the announcing side of it and the tower operations and watching as a race fan. It's something neat. I mean, it was killing me having to stand up there and watch people drive, and I couldn't be down there in my fire suit, but it was still a lot of fun to be able to see something different for a change.
Nice. Very well. So you will be out there on Saturday night with some promotional items, and we certainly look forward to seeing you out there, Big Mike.
Absolutely. I'll be there with T-shirts and maybe some can coolers, some other items up there, signing autographs. Any fans that are interested, just come talk to me.
Good deal. And Charlie, you guys, where do you stand in the points currently right now as you try to defend this championship? Where are you currently in the points in the modifieds?
I believe we're leading by about 20 at the moment.
Oh, that's just disheartening. The worst part about it.
It's absolutely...
to watch that slip away week after week. Now,
it's such a helpless feeling to, you know, just not be able to afford it. I mean, you know, it's not lack of competition, and it's not due to a lack of performance that we're having to bow out at the moment. It's just simple cash, and that's, you know, it's definitely something that's just a real blow, and it's disheartening.
Of course.
But you got to just keep on trucking and trying to promote and trying to make yourself look appealing for a projective business, and that's what I'm trying to do. And hopefully maybe we'll catch a break somewhere and we'll be able to be back and see if we can't salvage something out of the points for this year at Volusia Speedway.
Well, you keep your head up, and with the things that you're doing, you know, the promotional deals that you're doing, and Holly Bluff is lucky to have you as their driver. And, you know, I think this Saturday night will help you some and help them. And you'll get it, man. The break will come to you sooner or later. It's going to fall your way. It's going to fall Charlie McNichol's way, and I think you'll see a lot of changes there. And whoever jumps on board with you will be more than happy, I guarantee it.
Well, I appreciate that, Billy. I certainly hope so. You know, that's all you can do. I like to think we got a great program for any prospective sponsor. I'm learning a lot, kind of in a crash course about promotions and how to handle that and get the names of a sponsor out there. And
I remember a little earlier in the season, you was driving somebody else's car just to make some laps to save points. Can you do that again, or no? Is it has the thought come across your mind? Or
well, it's a thought that I've had, but it's one of those things of, you know, you got to be a little bit. What's the word? You don't want to just go up there and ask somebody, hey, why don't you get out of that thing and let me get in?
Yeah, be tactful.
You know, you got to be a little bit coy about it. And, you know,
Joe,
I would certainly.
Joe, let me get the mic. Take a break.
Yeah.
This ain't that simple, huh?
Oh, man.
Hey.
Well, I'll probably be down there while I'm either after or before I'm handing out my T-shirts and promotional items with a fire suit and a helmet and just looking for an empty seat I can jump in while nobody's looking. But
you know, Charlie, the worst part about this is there are drivers out at that racetrack, and drivers all over the country for that matter, that have gotten more than their fair share of opportunities and have done less than the right thing. So, I mean, you have done the right thing. You've kind of moved up through the ranks. It's been a great progression for you. You're currently in defense of a championship in this modified, so I am confident, and like Billy said, keep your head up. You guys will. You're going to land on your feet, and it's going to be better than ever.
We certainly hope so, Joe. It's something that I've always joked about with my dad. If people only knew what we're really doing with how much resources we have comparative to some of the guys we're racing against, they would be shocked. I mean, if we could ever catch the right break and have the big financing behind us that some of the other teams have, I don't want to sound too conceited, but I think we'd be in a real good place if we could ever get the proper equipment and the great opportunities that some other people have had, because we've done a lot with very little.
Folks, he drives the number 99, Holly Bluff Marina Houseboat Vacations, DeLand Auto Parts, sponsored Budweiser Modified Evolution Speedway Park, and it has certainly been a pleasure to talk to this young man. Charlie McNichol, thank you very much.
Great to talk to you guys.
Thanks right, for buddy. The kind words, see buddy. See you this weekend.
All righty, man.
And that's something. Guy leading the points by 20 is going to watch it fade away because of power plant problems.
I'm going to make a call when this is over.
You know, you have the resources. We all have the resources.
I'll make a call when this is over.
I'd love to see Trackside Tonight on the side of that car. Speaking of that, can we?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
The all-new number 43 DeLand Motorsports Dodge Charger, driven by Randy Dye in the Goodyear Challenge Series, will, in fact, sport Racing 1150 Trackside Tonight.
I have my picture on
the side of the race car, baby.
Your
picture on the side of it, and that he will never be touched. I guarantee it. Nobody will come close to that race car.
No. They know.
That's right. Like that little M&M on the back of the car.
You know what? Are we taking a commercial?
Not yet.
Speaking of not being touched.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's for sure.
I'll
lead you up
into this, big man.
Bring it on. That's how you do a segue.
Speaking of not being touched, this guy on the phone with us barely got touched by anything Saturday night, as he picked up the third annual Scott Thomas Memorial win, the locomotive out of Jacksonville, Johnny Collins. What's up, Bob?
Man, what's going on?
I just sitting here wishing that we was where you were today, because you're the big winner.
You don't wish where I'm at. I'm at work right now.
Johnny, what do you do every day, my man?
Well, we're a train yard, man. I work TTX.
Very well.
That's why they call him a locomotive.
Very well. Makes a lot of sense. Johnny, we had you on just a couple of weeks ago as you were talking about the successful 2008 season. And last time we had you on, you were driving for Terry Rye. Now you finally have kind of regrouped that relationship, kind of moved on, and now pretty much a family operation. And just like I said in Victory Lane, and you know, you didn't want to take a lot of credit for it. I mean, in an effort not to sound conceited, I don't blame you, but, dude, you can get in any race car, go to any racetrack, and win any race, and it's clear after Saturday night's performance. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, like I say, it's still not just me. I mean, you know, man, you got everything going your way, and right now I can't do nothing wrong. Now, that don't mean this Saturday or whatever I go out there and just make a total fool of myself. But, yeah, right now things is the racing gods are shining, I should say.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it.
You know, Joe, when I went out there and we were watching the packing race going on there for a while.
Yeah, right.
And then once they finally got the racetrack where these guys could do some hot laps and so on, I don't get to the dirt track that often. And I was, you know, obviously several of the names as I'm standing up there with you I knew.
Oh, sure.
But I was watching, more importantly, I was watching the way the race cars were on the racetrack. And, man, I'll tell you, Johnny, that car was fast from the first time you could put your foot in it. Yeah, I watched it, and I said, I told some folks up in the booth, I said, that's the car right there. It's going to race. And it was good. I mean, not just fast, but it was fast and solid. You know, where other guys were looking for the line and bouncing around and having trouble figuring it out, your car just looked like it was hooked up to a slot track, and you were just pulling it around there.
Well, that's what we try to do Friday, you know, and I come down there and we've done that test, and I just wanted to make sure the car was balanced out. I mean, we didn't have to turn the fastest times, but we had to run the fastest times consistently, you know, for a long run. And even though the track was a little different for Saturday, when I got done Friday night, you know, I told my dad and the crew and everybody, I said, the car there right now is just as smooth as I can be. I mean, the car lays down in a corner. It don't get upset. It don't hike up too hard. It's almost like he was driving on asphalt. I mean, the car just stayed underneath you. I said, well, if we don't get wrecked and I get some good qualifying time, I said, we should be there at the end. And it just worked out where everything, you know, went our way, you know, Saturday, especially being as rough as it was. A lot of things could have happened, and it just didn't. So,
Johnny, you watched this track evolve Saturday throughout the afternoon into the night and certainly into Sunday morning. But, you know, talk about what goes through your head as a driver as you're trying to, you know, kind of keep up competitively with this racetrack that it just evolved into. I mean, it was a good track. Like you said, it was a little bit rough. But, you know, and certainly I say this to so many different drivers while I ask this question. It's got to be a fine line not to kind of overstep, you know, your boundaries when you're trying to make changes to that race car. I mean, it's such a fine tune, it seems. How much of that happened, or was it tire selection, or when did you guys really start thinking that, okay, we are going to be all right tonight?
Well, actually, I was a little concerned the whole time because, like I say, Friday night we had the car set to go that way, and,
right,
and it was going to be more dry and slick and maybe blacking off. A little smoother conditions, and the whole night I watched the track, you know, slowly go away and get a little rougher. And me and the guys on the crew, we must run around that daggum pit 25, you know, times back and forth right before the feature, just looking and looking.
Yeah, man.
There appeared to be a lot of moisture left in it, and we wanted to go with you know, the harder tires all the way around and just stay up top and stay out of it. And but the problem was, you know, if you could make it through the holes, that was the faster way around. And, so we elected just to change it up and go pretty much, I think, what half the field didn't do, you know, especially the front four or five rows. And we end up going through the bottom where everybody stayed up top and made the car really work on the bottom. And the tires we chose was the right tire for the bottom groove. So, you know, it just worked in our favor that nobody else chose that line pretty much throughout the night.
The car obviously liked that green flag, the long run. I mean, like most cars do. I mean, the way you guys set them up on the short track, certainly Volusia, the big old sweeping half mile. But he had some restarts to contend with. And do you have any idea, you know, what Patrick was doing? I mean, from 22nd, I mean, did you have any indication at all that he was making his way toward you?
Well, I kept looking at the scoreboard every time, you know, I could get up there and catch a glimpse, and I'd seen he was up getting close, and I had a you know, Rick on the back straightaway would give me some signals, and he always told me I had a little room. So at first I wasn't real concerned until the cautions, and I seen that number up there on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
I thought, well, right here we're going to know, you know, if he's got anything, I know he's going to show it.
Sure.
And luckily I had just a little bit more drive up off the corner than he did, and it worked out for us. But I, you know, seeing him come through the field, knowing he started a little deep, it was, you know, it does concern you because I keep one eye on the track and one eye on that scoreboard to see who's coming up behind me.
Yeah. Luckily, we didn't put the 38 up front like we do traditionally with the Scott Thomas Memorial, man. But I'll tell you, just again, congratulations from all of us here at Trackside tonight. And go ahead, Bill.
Then on the radio, so like, every week for the last month.
Yeah, man.
I'm not complaining.
I saw last week you were the Pandura Driver of the Month.
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's
pretty awesome.
Huh?
That's awesome.
I mean, the Saturday night you pulled up to the office to pick up your money, and you was riding in the back seat of the truck. It was just driving itself. I mean, what the hell is that?
Oh, man.
I mean, come on here.
I'll tell you what, you know, that's a real compliment. You make it look that easy now. I mean, it's definitely not that easy, Billy. You know better than
that. It's not that easy at all, man.
I went by there Friday night on the way home from Ocala Speedway. I stopped by there, and he was sitting out there in a chair. I said, how was it? It was all right.
Yeah.
I said, was it fast? It was all right.
Well, Johnny,
like I was taking notes for something. You know what I mean?
They're going to go keep their cards too far away from their vest. I'll tell you.
It was all right. I said, was you the fastest in here? It was all right.
Yeah, that's how he is, man. Johnny, you know, I found out tonight you do work, in fact, for the railroad, but I thought you were bus driver, you know, by day, because, buddy, you were taking the fellow to school. Isn't that good?
Appreciate that.
That's pretty good.
Come on, Randy. That's a good one right there.
You're taking the field to school.
What are you going to do?
Bus driver.
You won the Powell Memorial last month. You won the Thompson Memorial this month. I mean, are you looking for something to race next month, or you already got your schedule? What are you doing here, man? What are you doing?
Yeah, we just racing where we can, you know, we're following the two series with Ray and Ken, and that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to keep it close to the house, you know, like, well, especially right now with me and my dad doing our own deal, it's tough with fuel prices, you know.
Where can we see you this week?
This week? We really don't know. We ain't decided if we're going to take this weekend off and regroup because, you know, we got to tear that thing all the way down. And, you know, just check everything out. Being as rough as it was, we don't want no surprises, you know,
right.
Catching us off guard. So I don't know if I'll have it back together. You know, Dad's got a full schedule with his job, and like I say, I'm full schedule with my job outside of racing. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Right.
Good deal.
For this weekend.
Gotcha. Johnny Collins, can't thank you enough. I want you to tell us about who's on that race car, man. I mean, you guys put this effort together. You do have some help with it, though. So take a minute and tell us about that.
Man, I can't. My hat's off and hands down. I appreciate everything these guys do for me. And there's a couple people that really helped me out with this deal, and that's George Fields with Southern Star Racing Engines. He had furnished me with, you know, a wonderful piece right there. You've seen how it can shine. So at the last minute, you know, that deal come through for me when I needed it the most. And without my family, without my parents, they support me financially and with just, you know, just support that track itself. And without that combination there, I wouldn't be there. You know, it takes all three combinations. And I got a few small companies here in town. You know, I got Ficklin Brothers Construction, Van Sickle Machine Shop. They, you know, do what they can when, you know, when things is good for them.
Sure.
Barry Wright with the race cars. You know, I can call him if I do get stumped. And shoot, man, we chew this stuff over back and forth between what we did to Super Race or what he done with Rambo and what I'm doing down here to help them. So
right. It's
a good combination there.
And the driver ain't half bad.
Oh, well, I might be okay.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. Pat yourself on the back.
He's all right. He was all right.
Johnny Collins checking in from Jacksonville as he is hard at work on the rails of the country. And, you know, traveling by freight now, I mean, they're actually starting big ad campaigns, I'm sure you know, to try to get kind of move freight instead of, you know, get it out of the air as well as perhaps semis. But you're in good business right now.
We're in good business, but we're like everybody else. You know, it's hard times for everybody, you know, truck lines and airlines and all. So, you know, this company tries to do what they can to keep us all working, and it's tight for everybody right now.
Gotcha, man. The locomotive out of Jacksonville, Johnny Collins. Thanks, man.
Congratulations again, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
See you, buddy.
He's won anything or everything there is.
Go to Real Racing USA, the message board. Click on where Jack wrote Patrick wins fans' hearts. Collins wins Thompson Memorial. Look at the picture. I'm interviewed in Victory Lane. And the smile on his face is unbelievable, man. He's just standing there and he's looking at the crowd. Well-spoken and certainly just an amazing driver.
Yeah.
You know, usually when the guy's smiling that much, it's because he had more.
I hear you.
When a guy is that happy at the end of a race, it means a couple things. Number one, he's won. Number two, it was a little easier than what he thought it might have been. And number three, he had a little bit left.
I'll be darned. I like that, Rick.
Hey, don't let him fool you. He saw the 30 on the scoreboard. But he knew if he had something for him, he probably would.
I'm not saying that.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
From 22nd to 2nd,
Doughboy had his foot matted to the ground.
It was unbelievable.
Okay, I'm not saying the 38 didn't show his hand, but I got to tell you, I'll bet you the 5 had a little bit more left.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Bean Bomb was on top of the racetrack. They might have had about 10 more laps. He had that top about where he wanted it.
Yeah, Adam Bean Bomb was
pretty good there, bud.
Yeah, sure was.
Well, anyway, it's good, and it's nice to hear a guy that's got it all in perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has a complete and total understanding of what he is and what his role is and who it takes to help. And, you know, one of the things we talked about, Joe, before we go to the break, the other night, was when we started this program, now almost 12 years ago.
Yeah.
The whole point was that we really wanted to do what we're doing here tonight. You know, we're talking to guys that are the local superstars and give them an opportunity to talk about their sponsors, you know, McNichol there earlier. Charlie McNichol about his sponsor. That's precisely what it's all about.
Right.
And yeah, we talk about NASCAR, and we'll talk some about that here when we come back from the break. And, you know, some of those, boy, that's a miss there. I'll knock the microphone away. But in any event, I think that's what we're trying to get the fans, you know, out at the racetrack to listen to and to call about and make these guys some heroes. Because I'm going to tell you something. The truth is, most of these guys work every bit as hard, if not harder, than some of the top series in the country.
The thing about that is the difference in the two phone calls. The first phone call, you got the guy that was the track champion last year, needs a little help, and the other phone call, you got a guy that's won everything he's been in. You know what I mean? And the worst part about it is they're both...
both talented guys.
Yes, exactly.
It's both sides of the spectrum right there.
Within one button. Push the button.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll remind you the phone numbers before we go. 239-0033, 800-927-0033. Star 1150 on your AT&T wireless cell phone. That's a free call. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Today, people recognize value more than ever, and for many, their home is their biggest investment. Protect that investment with quality paint and stains from Southern Paint and Supply. And Southern Paint has concrete restoration materials, too. Since 1954, Southern Paint has been providing expert personalized service and product knowledge like no one else. Southern Paint is a complete home decorating center with the names you know. Quality names like Coronado, Benjamin Moore, Porter, Glidden, and Zinser. Southern Paint's custom framing is unmatched. Their window treatment department has won rave reviews for many years. And Southern Paint offers a wonderful selection of wall coverings. Call today for an in-home consultation or stop by Southern Paint and Supply in Daytona Beach, Ormond Beach, and New Smyrna Beach. Phone 253-8107 or log on to southernpaintandsupply.com. Southern Paint and Supply, the place to buy your paint and so much more.
Delightful, dependable, luxurious, discreet. It's the only way to describe a ride in Aristocrat Transportation Limousine. Aristocrat Transportation Limo strives to give you the very best limousine service possible for a reasonable rate. And reasonable just became unbelievable. Aristocrat announces a $99 unbelievable summer sizzler. Ride like a VIP that you are in any Aristocrat limo for prices starting as low as $99. A limo bus for you and 20 of your closest friends for $99 now. Or a two-hour ride in a beautiful limo, just $99. Transportation to Orlando Airport, just $99. Whether it's a limo, party bus, Escalade SUV, limo, or town car, all prices start at $99. Call 386-253-1959 now and ask for the unbelievable $99 summer special. It's only available for a limited time, so call and reserve your vehicle today during the $99 unbelievable summer sizzler. Aristocrat Limousines. Call 386-253-1959 and ride the cars that drive the stars for only $99. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
This stylish carpet, when the friendly sales guy in aisle 5 sold it to me last year, he promised it was the perfect choice. I guess he wasn't listening when I told him about Biff. Charlie.
Sorry, Mom.
Or my husband and his fishing buddies.
Don't worry, honey. We'll clean it up.
This time, I'm heading to Carpet One Floor and Home. Those big home centers can't give me the flooring advice I need. Discount stores don't have the selection I want. And finding someone to install flooring from one of those online dealers is a nightmare. Carpet One Floor and Home has thousands of selections in every kind of flooring, plus real flooring experts to help me make the right choice this time. I can even shop online at carpetone.com, and they'll bring samples right to my home. Best of all, they offer guaranteed installation. See if you can get that kind of help from the friendly sales guy in aisle 5. Only at Carpet One Floor and Home.
Plus, no payments and no interest till 2010 at Carpet One in Ormond Beach.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy, fixing to be a race car driver.
Well, that's all right. I keep saying, why don't you get together a celebrity dirt race?
Because he ain't no damn celebrity.
Yeah, what do you mean ain't no celebrity?
He ain't no celebrity.
He's a celebrity, man. He's got a radio program.
Hey, that's true.
Hey, in our radio program,
is on the side of a race car.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's true.
I'm going to need the test guy to make sure we got what we need to win.
I take it back.
Well, I think we're going to put somebody else's race decal on there, aren't we? Can you talk to Jack?
Yes, no.
Yes, no. Did you? Well, you were supposed to.
I will.
Well, now's a good time. He's probably listening.
RealRacingUSA.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen. That's no problem at all.
Well, I mean, he does so much for us, I figured that we ought to at least be able to do that for him.
Man, I just fade out when people tell me.
Hey, Jack, we're going to have to let you know there ain't going to be no test driving here, bud. I'm going to do the test driving.
Yeah, I got to write it down, right, Mark?
Well, I still think we should have a celebrity dirt race.
I've been wanting to do that for years. Me and Bill.
I'm going to crash you.
We could have a. That's nice.
I would.
Match race.
I might not win the race, but I'm gonna beat the two of y'all. I can get our own team.
Hey, it's be the three of us. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, that'd be some tore up stuff. Cause I'm gonna wreck y'all.
Whose car would you drive?
Whoever.
And they'd only let us be in the pure stocks, right? The four cylinder.
I wreck y'all.
I'm gonna need to get that 73.
Yeah, that 73 is upside down.
Hey, Randy, did you see that?
I ain't never seen nothing like that.
No, I didn't see it. What happened?
Real quick, in turn four. Tim Schull, he is the current points leader. This guy has dominated the series, the division in the four cylinders.
He's actually second.
Second up, Danny Lund still's lead. One of the Kerr race cars, you know, Dan Kerr owns so many cars. They were actually racing for $300 too. They had some sponsors.
This was in the heat race, though.
This was in the heat race, right. Anyway, in turn four, all alone now, he had probably a 15 car length advantage on his closest competition back in second. Man, I'm watching him, and all of a sudden, he hits a rut. The car comes up in the air, probably 15 feet, flips over, whoop, bam, lands on all fours. He keeps going. This looked like something out of a cartoon, dude.
And we got about 10 minutes left, and we might not be able to talk about it, but Dan Kerr had a huge win Saturday night.
Yes, he did.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, he did.
I'm glad to see Dan Kerr pick him up a win in that mini stock.
The
Dirt Car Nationals Ken Schrader comes out and races.
Couple things I think that we should point out and wouldn't be appropriate if we missed it. I don't know if y'all paid attention to who finished second in the Nationwide Series race this week.
Joey Logano.
Again. Do you know what this kid's, I mean, his average finish has got to be, what, third?
I had talked to his PR guy a couple weeks ago to get him on the show, and just the guy hadn't been able to make contact with me. We've talked a couple of times and said he would try to get him, but, I mean, he's always so busy. He said, man, you won't believe how many people's calling me to get this guy on the show.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. I mean, this kid is the next phenom. I mean, there is no question about it.
Randy, who won the ARCA race Saturday night?
I didn't pay any attention to who won the ARCA race.
If you know that, give us a call, folks. I'll give you two free tickets to Volusia Speedway at 239-0033. Tell me who won the ARCA race.
They're weekend tickets, right? They're Saturday and Sunday.
No, they're for tomorrow.
You didn't get
free tomorrow tickets.
No, I know.
Yes. I was trying to be funny, too.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, Billy. A couple things. I don't know if you paid any attention or not, but Terry Labonte is going to drive the 45 at Indianapolis this weekend. That's one race longer than Kyle was supposed to be out of the race car. And I think if you... This is kind of one of the big changes that are occurring at Petty Enterprises with the advent of this new partnership. It's a much more business-like approach. Now, you know, I can say all this stuff because Kyle's a friend of mine, but the bottom line is these people are business people, and that car is going to be in the show.
Right.
And it's not to say that Kyle couldn't qualify it in the show, but this is guaranteed to be in the show
right.
with Terry Labonte. And I think you'll see some more things like this throughout the year. You know, Terry Labonte, since he's been driving that 45 car, has only used two champions provisionals out of six. So he's still got, they've still got several to go. I would not be surprised to see Terry Labonte drive the car past Indianapolis at some other place. So, we'll take it. We'll leave that one out there. Maybe get to come back to it. But we've got a couple calls.
Hey,
here.
Real quick on line two. Let's hit Ron. I think he may have my answer. This is good for a pair of tickets to Volusia Speedway Park. Ron.
Hey, Joe. I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know who won that race. But I got a question about the. I got a question about the way things went on Saturday night. Maybe I missed it earlier in the show, but it was to say it was late was a little bit of a an understatement.
Did you stay for the whole program run?
No, actually, I drive in the street stock series, and I loaded up and left. I just can't stay there till, you know, we weren't even going to, I mean, it became pretty apparent about midway through late model qualifying that this we wouldn't even roll onto the track for the heat race until about 12 o'clock.
This is our number 11 car.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha, Ron, and you painted that thing black now. It looks great.
No, oh, actually, that's a different
is that a different one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know, the white one, that's Pat Talby's old car.
Oh, gotcha.
That I've got.
The old 50. Well, Ron, you know, Billy's right here. We've been on since 8 o'clock, and we went over it quite a bit. But
okay, I'm sorry about that.
No, I'm just a little surprised. I mean, Ron, you know what we go through on a regular week there at Volusia Speedway Park. So, I mean, you're in a whole other, you know, part of the racetrack, obviously, and you know, race control does what they can. But it was the track conditions. What can we say, man? What do you suggest? What could we have done different? I mean, from a driver, tell me.
I don't know. The thing that frustrated me from my standpoint, you know, of course, you know, and I know everybody's working hard. I certainly don't mean to throw anybody under the bus with this, but I mean, when I rolled in the track about 5:30, they were dumping water on the track.
You're right.
And so it wasn't it wasn't, you know, anybody that says it was a weather condition is.
Well, it had rained at 4 o'clock too.
Well, a little bit, Billy, but I mean, I was out there with the car. Where I keep my car is only about 5 miles from the track, so we got about a half an hour.
I can promise you one thing. There was a line at the gate, and it was raining on them, and there was lightning on them. I had guys sitting in their cars to get out of the rain.
I know. Trust me. I'm certainly not looking to, you know, criticize anybody, but I mean, after a certain point, I just thought it would have been a smart idea to just call everybody in and say, look, we're just going to run the late model show tonight. Everybody else, you know, come back another day.
I mean, no way. You would actually have accepted that.
If
you had your car there, street stock driver, and we said, hey, you guys, we're not going to run you after all,
yeah,
after you paid us?
I was there. I had the car. I loaded up and left. I can't stay there till Tuesday.
Yeah,
I mean, I got to work on Sunday. I can't be there till.
Okay.
If I had stayed, I would have been there till. I wouldn't have got home till 4 o'clock.
Okay, well, Ron, you know, here's the deal. I mean, you're right, and everybody. Everybody has individual circumstances, and it causes them to you know, have to make decisions, particularly since this is more for fun than it is for a living. But, to have guys in the environment that we're in the economy that we're in, tow out to the racetrack, pay their money to the gas to get there, their fans that probably come with them, and then to pay their entry fee, and then say, hey, guys, you know, we're going to just give you a free pass the next week. I don't think the majority of the people would have, you know, would have gone for that. And I also want to say, and I'm a little bit more objective because, A, I don't race at Volusia. B, I'm not the director, the race director. And C, I'm not the announcer. Okay, but I will say this, that the weather issue wasn't exclusive or limited to Saturday. It's the real issue with the weather was what had happened all week long. You know, the racetrack was pretty well saturated, yet at the same time these guys are trying to, you know, they want to make sure that if the race goes and they don't put water on it, I don't care how much rain they got all week long, that racetrack would have been a dust bowl.
Exactly.
So, when you got that many late models putting that many laps on it, it's going to be a dust bowl. So they got stuck. And I think the issue is not that they were putting water on the racetrack at 5 o'clock or 5:30, It got too much water on the racetrack. And everybody has already admitted, Billy said here earlier, they admitted that they got too much water on the racetrack when they did it. Not that it didn't need to have water, it just got too much.
But, Ron, we didn't hit it, and we certainly apologize on our end.
Well,
see you back, man. I mean,
well,
I love
course.
Watching.
No, all right. Are you kidding me? I mean, I got one agenda in this.
All right, good deal, buddy.
Just to have fun with racing.
And ask to talk to me one night, that's for sure.
There's no question about it.
Man, all right, Ron, I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
Sure.
Good dude. Ron Koch and Joe Efton were actually in Circle Track and Racing Technology like 2 months ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice article, man, about both of those guys.
We got Jimmy Jeep, but he's going to have to go quick. He's got about 30 seconds. Jimmy?
We're sorry, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Well, I'm up here in Indiana.
Are you really?
Yeah, we've been seeing some nice racing up here. Did the USAC Don Wing Indiana Sprint of the Week show the other day in Boswell.
Nice.
53 cars.
Nice.
And we got the World Outlaws coming up next week down Paducah.
Right. When are you coming home?
No comment.
All right, so that might be home night for now. All right, Jimmy, enjoy yourself, man.
All right, guys, thanks.
Hey, please call us next Monday and give us an update. We'll give you a lot more time, Jimmy. We really apologize.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Well, we're getting down to it. Joe, what's going on at Volusia Speedway Park this weekend?
We got a big weekend of racing. Billy, what do we got?
Sorry I asked you such a tough question there, partner.
I'll tell you one thing you'll have. We'll have everybody under by 11:30.
That's right.
Hey, and I say 11:30. We're going to push for 11, maybe 10:30, yes, I guarantee.
Grandstand's open at 5 races at 7:30. Please come back. Late models are back in action.
Congratulations to Rich Clouser, the winner of the Goodyear Challenge Late Model 100-lap race out at New Summer Speedway this past weekend.
Got late models at Ocala Speedway on Friday night, and late models on Saturday. No hobby stocks, no street stock cars this weekend.
Miami let Jason Taylor go. He's going to the Redskins. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.